Morning, open up to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 6 this morning. Genesis chapter number 6. We're coming to the spot in the book of Genesis where we're looking at Noah and we're looking at the worldwide flood for the next few weeks. And here in the book of Noah, we're going to see the beginning of the reason why the Lord judged the world with the worldwide flood. And you know what? God used Noah to warn the people for over 120 years. And what amazes me is that no one responded. It was just Noah and his family that was saved during the flood. And that's the thought for this morning. This is the title of the message is, does anyone care? Judgment is coming. Does anyone care? Judgment is coming. You look at verses, Genesis chapter number 6, you look at verses 1 and all the way down to verse number 13, you're going to see that there's great wickedness in the world. Great, great wickedness in the world. And because of that, God judges the world with a flood. Now, some people say, well, I don't believe that God's ever going to judge anyone, or God would never send someone to hell, or God would never punish anyone, things like that. It's a God of love. He's a God that would never do anything to harm anyone. But you see in this chapter here, he is a holy God, and because of the sinfulness of man, God took out mankind. And it's sometimes people don't like to think about this attributes of God and these thoughts about God. But this morning when we look at it, I want us to understand that during those first number of years, probably somewhere under 2,000 years, man turned away from God. There was a holy line, and there was a line of Cain, and then even they began to become intermixed, and there was only one man, despite all the billions of people that were probably alive during this time, that pleased God and his family. And God chose to bless him, and God chose to save him. So when we look at this passage of Scripture today, I want us to consider this. Judgment is coming. Does anyone care? Say, Pastor, is this about the message about what happened with Noah? Well, it's to give us an idea that judgment was coming then, and no one cared back then. And today, the Bible teaches us that someday Jesus Christ is going to come back, and Jesus Christ is going to rapture out his church. But then the second coming of Christ, there's judgment that will be coming again. And doesn't seem like anybody really cares. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that all, he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. They're saying that's how much longer flesh has on this earth. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old and men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented to the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, and both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, things look pretty doom and gloom up to that point in time. God's decided that he's going to wipe off mankind and all the animals that are above the water. But here in verse number 8, you see the glimmer of hope. You see the light inside this passage. He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth. And behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I'd also like you to take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24, this passage of Scripture. You're going to see there is a reference that is made to the days of Noah. Christ has told us in this passage of scripture we're going to be looking at that he is coming back someday and that there will be judgment upon the earth. And he gives an idea. Now, no one knows the day. No one knows the hour. The Bible even talks about how we should not even speculate about that. But he does give a time period. And in Matthew chapter 24, I want you to see in verse 37. Actually, we'll start in verse 36, what the word of God says here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, the Bible says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So he's referring to the day that Christ is coming back. Verse number 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now here's the thought here, is that back then judgment was coming. The world was going to be destroyed by a worldwide flood. I believe for 120 years, Noah had preached. He was called a preacher of righteousness later on in the New Testament. He had told them about the upcoming judgment, but nobody cared. And here, Christ is going to come back, and someday this world is going to be judged. And the question is, does anybody care today? Now, I want you to take your Bibles to one other passage of Scripture, and then we'll go back to the book of Genesis. Let's go to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, there's another passage of Scripture I'd like you to take notice of. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Say, "Pastor, you keep on saying something about this judgment that's going to happen. Where do you find that out in the Bible?" Well, we're getting ready to show you here in 2 Peter chapter number 3. The Bible tells us here in 2 Peter chapter number 3 that God's not going to judge the world with a flood this time, but instead the world will be judged by fire. Now, once again, this is after the rapture of the church. This is after the great tribulation period. This is after the different events that have not happened yet, but the day is coming when the world will be judged by fire. Let's look what it says in 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 2, says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, when we talk about judgment, when we talk about Christ coming back, we have a bunch of scoffers, people who scoff at that, people who mock at that. Just as Noah did in his day when he was building this ark, warning it there was going to be water falling from the sky because that had never happened before and that God was going to judge the world with this water, people mocked and people scoffed at him. Just as today when we say that Jesus Christ is coming back for his church and Jesus Christ is coming back to rule the world, people will scoff at that. Let's keep on going. It says in verse number 4, it says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and that the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Now here's the idea, they're making reference to the worldwide flood here. Verse number 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Verse number 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Now, what was happening is when Christ calls his church home, this sets up a line of events that are going to happen. And with the end of it, we see what's going to be accomplished in verse number 11, that all these things shall be dissolved. Verse number 12, it says, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful for you today. Amen. Lord, we are just overwhelmed, Lord, of how good you are to us. We see what happened with the worldwide flood, and we understand that you are in control of things. And Lord, it's only by your grace and mercy, Lord, that we're not consumed. Lord, I pray that today as we look at this idea about judgment, that someday judgment is coming again. And Lord, that we do care, that we don't ignore the warnings that have been given in your word. Lord, that we make sure we have a right relationship with you. And Lord, not only inside this right relationship, Lord, that we have with you, but Lord, that we live for you, that we see this as a warning that's given to the world, that we can go out and be as Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Lord, I ask you speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is told in 1969 in Pass Christian, Mississippi. There was a group of people that were preparing to have a hurricane party. You say, what's a hurricane party? Well, it's when an area is told that a hurricane is coming, that they need to evacuate, and they decide to stay anyway. Well, this group of people were not ignorant of the dangers that were coming. They were overconfident. They let their egos and pride influence their decision. Stories told by the police chief who came up to the beach area and looking at the water. While there was a group of people, one man at first that appeared on a second floor balcony holding a drink in his hand. He even waving to the sheriff, to the police chief. He yelled, "You need to get clear out of here as quickly as you can. The storm is getting worse." But as others joined the man on the balcony, they just laughed at the police chief. They said, "This is my land. The only way you're going to get me out of here is if you arrest me." Well, it says that night that he did not arrest anyone, and unfortunately, he was unable to persuade them to leave either. He even asked them their names and their next of kin, and about 20 people gave him their names and next of kin. They laughed as they took their names. He also warned them one last time, but they had no intention of leaving. At 10:15 that night, when the front walls of the storm came ashore, scientists clocked Camille, was the name of the hurricane, wind speed at 205 miles per hour, the strongest on record. It says raindrops hit with the force of bullets, and waves off the Gulf Coast crested between 22 and 28 feet high. News reports later showed that the worst damage came at a little settlement of motels, go-go bars, and gambling houses known as Pass Christian, Mississippi, where 20 people were killed at a hurricane party in the apartment building. Nothing was left of that apartment building. All three stories were destroyed. The only thing that survived was a 5-year-old boy clinging to a mattress. Now, here's the thought. They were warned. They were told. But they chose not to adhere to the warnings. This morning is the thought here, and I know no one really likes to hear about judgment. No one really likes to even preach about judgment. But the reality is there is a day and time coming where God will come back for his people and the world will be judged, and we need to make sure we're ready for it. Let's go back to Genesis chapter number 6. There's a couple things I want you to see in this story. And here's another thing we're trying to get to is, it says the days of Noah, that's when Christ is going to come back, when things were like the days of Noah. So today, I like to compare the days of Noah, according to this passage of Scripture, to the day and time we live in. And I believe that in the day and time, and the wickedness that we have in our society today is much like in the days of Noah. If we could enter into a time machine and head back to the days of Noah, and we could see all the different wickedness that was on the face of the earth, I believe it would be much like the wickedness we see in America today and across our country. Now, fortunately, there is more than just one man that is finding grace in the eyes of God. Fortunately, there's more than just one family that is going to be saved. Fortunately, there's believers all across our nation, believers all throughout the world today, and we praise the Lord for that. But there is a time coming that we need to warn the world of, the warning that Jesus Christ is coming back, and we need to make sure that we're prepared. But number two, there's also warnings throughout found throughout his word that we need to say, you know what? God tells me things like, be sure your sin will find you out. But God tells us that what we sow, we shall reap. God tells us warnings in his word about sin that many times Christians do not care and Christians just ignore. Because there is the judgment seat of Christ that is coming for the believer too. But the main part of the message is, you know what? There's judgment coming. Are we living as if judgment was coming? Those people that were in that apartment building, they had the warnings. They were told. They were besieged. He even tried to convince them to come out. But mockingly, they laughed at the judgment that was going to come. And the hurricane fell upon them because they did not take the warning. Here, let's look again here. Genesis chapter number 6. And the first point is God's judgment. God's judgment. He say, Pastor, in that part of Matthew chapter 24, you made reference to the fact that they were eating and drinking and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the days of Noah entered into the ark. What is wrong with eating and drinking? There isn't anything wrong with eating and drinking. I like to eat. I like to drink the right things. I mean, before in the past, it says, I like to drink, and I've gotten in trouble because people think that's referring to alcohol. That's not what I'm talking about. They're just living their lives. They're living their lives. They're giving in marriage. You know what the Bible is saying there is they were living their lives like nothing was going to come. For over 120 years, this man Noah was preaching righteousness. For over probably 60 years, he was building this ark. And everyone knew what the message was. They mocked at it. They laughed at him. And here in this story, they just chose to ignore it. And that's the idea here is they were living without giving any thought to their creator. Jesus tells him in this passage that the last days will be like the days of Noah. So let us see what the days of Noah was like. And let us see how that compares to us today. Chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters. Now, I know that sometimes in verses 1 through 4, there's different interpretations of that. Some people think the sons of God are referring to fallen angels. Some believe it was from the line of Abel and how they began to look at the line of Cain and how they began to mix the righteousness with the unrighteousness. We're not going to dive into that this morning, but we are going to make mention of this. Chapter 6, verse number 1, the days of Noah are similar to days that we live in today is because there is a population explosion during the time of Noah. Matthew chapter 24 said there, look, when things are like they were back in Noah, that's when we're going to have Jesus Christ come back. So if we're, first of all, the thing I think we can compare is the population explosion. Back then, we know that there was probably somewhere between 6 and 7 billion people. What it says in verse number 1, that men began to multiply on the face of the earth. And that is what's happening in our world today. Back in 1935 to 1965, we had 3 billion people. Then from 1965 to 1975, we reached 4 billion. And then in 1975 to 1985, we reached 5 billion. By the year 2000, we reached near the 6 billion mark. And today, we have over 7 billion people that live in the world. Just like in the days of Noah, we are having many, many people come. The population explosion. Also, there's a second thing that is common in the days of Noah, as it is in today, is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is on the increase. That's when you see that the passages of Scripture I'm just going to give reference to is the fact that they were acting as they should not have been. That the sons of God, if they were sons of Abel, they should not have been going to the line of Cain. They were supposed to be two different sections. Here in verse number 2, it says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them as wives, all which they chose. And that's when it says in verse number 3, the Lord saw this, and he says, My spirit shall not always strive with men. He's saying, look, my spirit is always not going to be trying to convict them. That they have 120 years, and for that 120 years, I believe the Holy Spirit of God tried to convict them and try to get them to repent. But we see the sexual immorality that was happening in that day. Verse number 4, there were giants in the earth that day. And also that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, that the same became mighty men, which were old men of renown. Now here's the thing, is that the days of Noah, things were going wrong sexually or sexual immorality on the day. But I think that would be a time that we live in today, wouldn't it? It is sexual immorality all around us. We live in a society that is sex crazed. There is a preoccupation with sexuality. The Lord, no doubt, is grieved at his heart when we see this. When he made man and woman, instituted the marriage, instituted the idea of marriage, and then a man takes it and just makes it something dirty. And you consider, over 9,000 sexual acts on TV each year. If you just watch TV on average amount, you'll see this or implied. It says over 93,000 sexual acts are implied in a 10-year period. Primetime TV today has over 200 different sex scenes in a week. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see the nudity, but still it's something that is implied. Over $12 billion a year is spent on pornography. $12 billion, that's more than any NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball team all combined. One of the greatest, most productive venues of the day is pornography. It's more than ABC, NBC, and CBS make combined. Child pornography, also $3 billion a year. You know, the days of Noah was a day of sexual immorality. The days that we live in today is a day of sexual immorality. Next thing I want you to think about is the imagination of men is on evil continually. The imagination of men is on evil continually. Look what it says in verse number 5. It says, and God saw the wickedness was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were on evil continually. And to be honest with you, when we consider the evilness and wickedness, the perversions of homosexuality and lesbianism, we are living in a day where 2% of the population have an agenda, and they try to force their rights as a lifestyle is legitimate that the Bible calls abomination. Now, we think about the evilness that people just think about, how things that they can dream up, the different things that they can do to be hurtful to others. The fourth thing, the days of Noah was famous for being a day of violence. Look what it says in verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. I think we live in a daytime where there is violence all around us. It's on the TVs, and that's something people like to talk about, what's wrong with sexuality, but they dismiss the idea of all the violence and all the bloodshed they see. It's desensitizing our young people and our children. Violence is something that people do not treat life as a gift from God. You know, we have over 1 million babies, over 1.3 million babies that are murdered in our nation every single year. They use the idea of convenience or a woman's right to choose. But can you imagine that over 3,700 babies in America are aborted every single day? That's just in America alone. There is over 1 billion people that have been murdered since the records have been being kept. We haven't even began to discuss the problems with alcohol, the problems with drug abuse, which destroy the lives of millions. We consider the murders and the rapes of today, the thefts and all the other crimes that impact us. And I'm just saying, when we think about what the Bible says, in the days of Noah, that's when Christ was going to come back. So here's the thought, God's judgment. God looked at the world. He discerned what was going on with the world. His heart was disappointed. As you see, his heart was grieved. And then we see that he made the decision that he was going to destroy the world. Why did it happen? It happened because of sin. And someday, Christ is going to come back, and someday the world will be judged once again. Are we living in the days of Noah? I'll let you make that choice. But I believe what the Bible is saying and what the Bible is teaching here is that our eyes should be on Jesus Christ and his return. I think it's easy to see that we're living in the days like in which Noah lived. The wickedness of man is great in the earth, And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. I don't know about you, but it seems like they keep on doing more and more to get shock value. They keep on trying to figure out more and more ways to be more sinful. They keep on trying to figure out more and more ways to depict God in a dishonoring way. They keep on trying to sit and figure out more and more and more garbage to put out there. It is amazing what they will do. Mrs. Franks gave me a little newspaper article, and it was advertising for young people that wants to party like a rock style. And they says, we're looking for people, young people who will party like a rock star. And it says, we're looking for young people who are rebellious. We're looking for people that have to have their own ways. And they want to have some type of television show. And they were advertising for teens, early teens who want to act like this way so they can go put themselves on TV. You just go and watch what's on TV today, whether it be regular TV or cable TV. There is so much wickedness out there. It's like they're sitting back and trying to imagine what wickedness they can bring up next. That's what it was back in the days of Noah. And that's the way it is, I believe, today. We see God's judgment falls. But not only is it about God's judgment, I also want you to see God's patience here. And look at what it says in verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he hath also his flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So God decides he's going to destroy the world with a flood. So what does he do? Does he do it the next day? He says, okay, let's go ahead and make the ark for Noah, get his family in there, and then let's go ahead and destroy the rest of the world in just one day. That's not what he does. God demonstrates his patience here. God shows his patience that after 120 years of Noah being a righteous preacher, as it talked about, the preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter 2:5, God gave them the opportunity to repent. As we learned in that verse, he's not slack concerning his promise. He's long-suffering. He desires that, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God is patiently waiting. And I think if at the beginning, between the beginning of time and the worldwide flood, sometime a little bit over 1,500 years, you know what? It's been 4,500 years since then. And God hasn't judged us yet. And I think God is being patient. God is being long-suffering with us. But the day of judgment is coming. But the question is, does anybody really care? We still live our lives. We still eat. We still drink. We still marry. We still have children. We still do all those things acting like there's nothing coming. Judgment is coming. And God is being patient. God is trying to reach people. God is trying to be long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but judgment is coming. But does anybody care? Do we tell anybody? Do we warn anybody? Thankfully, there was a man like Noah who knew God's patience, who understood God's patience and said, for 120 years, God's coming. The flood is coming. The flood is coming. You need to beware. This morning, consider God's patience. Consider the sin is the reason why mankind was first destroyed. And sin is the reason why we have any type of catastrophe. That's not the way that God designed it. That's not what God desired for us. God desired us in the garden. It was in Adam and Eve's sin, and sin was passed down throughout all the generations. And for all those years, God patiently tried to get people to repent. The third thing I want you to see, not only is it God's judgment and God's patience, but I want you to see God's grace. The amazing thing is that you can find grace during the time of judgment. You look what it says in verse number 8. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When during the time of God's patience, he's warning sinners to repent, he will forgive their sin. I mean, that is an amazing thing. God is saying, look, punishment is coming, judgment is coming, but if you'll repent of your sins, I'll forgive you. You see what the Bible says also in verse number 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. What does that mean? He had made his relationship right with God. He was justified before God because he put his faith in God. He put his faith in God's plan. And when during the time of God's patience, God is warning sinners to repent. And if they are willing to repent, he will forgive their sins. That is the second and most important thing when we consider God's judgment, is that his patience, he's patiently warning those. But the wonderful thing is, you can find grace during his patience. You can find grace during his time of judgment. And we see, how did Noah find grace? Well, look what it says in verse number 9. He was a just man, perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Now, we looked at that last week, didn't we? We talked about how Enoch walked with God. That if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to agree with God. You're going to have to walk. You have to walk by faith, not by sight. You're going to have to also live a life that is announcing the message that God has given you. Noah walked with God, and Noah responded when God warned him. You say, where do you see that in the Bible? In Hebrews chapter number 11, God tells Noah of his warning that he's going to destroy the world with a flood. And the Bible just says he doesn't ignore it. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Here's the point. Is Noah, when he was confronted with the judgment of God, what did he do? Did he scoff at God and say, God, what are you talking about? We've never seen water. We've never seen rain fall from the sky. What does he do? He responds. It says he moves with fear. He believed God. This morning, if you want God's grace in your life, if you want to, during a time of patience that God is waiting, if you want to find the grace of God in your life, and you don't want to fall from the grace of God, here's the thought. We must learn to walk with God. And when God speaks to us through his word, he gives us over and over in his word, he tells us not to lean to our own understandings. He forewarns us that we should acknowledge him in all our ways, because if not, we're going to end up doing something that is wrong. He warns us over and over in his words. What are we going to do with the warnings God's given us? He tells us that we should go out and tell the world, because the souls of mankind hang in the balance. This morning, what do you do with the warnings of God? Many people dismiss it. Many people say, hey, you know what? I've been living like this for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and nothing bad has happened to me, so I'm just going to keep on living this way and just ignore the warnings of God. That's someone scoffing at it. And that's the idea that happened in those 120 years. They said, come on, Noah, when's the rain going to fall? When's the water going to come? When are we going to be destroyed? They just ignored it because God was patiently waiting. They took this patience as a sign that God's word was not going to come true. And even though it's been generation after generation that God has patiently waited to judge the world, we must say God's judgment is coming. And the question is, do you care? No, when he heard the warning, he was warned of God of things not yet seen as yet. He has never seen the water come up. He had never seen water fall from the sky. But he says, because God spoke, he moved with fear. He say, Pastor, I hear God's warnings. I guess don't see how they apply to me. That's what faith is. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then what we need to understand in our Christian lives, if we want God's grace in our lives, we need to agree with him. We need to say, Lord, I hear your warnings. I'm going to take those warnings and I'm going to apply them to my life. Instead of being like those that lived in the day of Noah, that knew what God wanted, knew that God was being patient, knew that God was reaching out to them, and they scoffed at it, they laughed at it, and they said, it just can't be true. We live in a day and time where people scoff and laugh at the things of God. One last little story. It talks about this man, Jason Grisham. He shouldn't be alive today. During his attempt to scale an electric tower, the 22-year-old man received a shock that would usually be fatal. Partway up the tower, 69,000 volts of electricity coursed through his body, knocking Grisham to the ground. Despite suffering burns to his chest and having his own pants explode, the young man was admitted to the hospital in good condition. How did Grisham get into this experiment, into this predicament? It was no accident. The 7-foot-tall fence topped with barbed wire surrounded the electrical tower. The electric company spokeswoman said that Grisham climbed over the fence that had large signs, danger, high voltage. How does that apply today's message? There are signs all around us. Warning signs that are all around us. Warning signs to unbelievers saying, Christ is coming, Christ is coming. A word that's been given. People that are sent out to tell others. A whole group of people that have been saved by the grace of God that's supposed to warn others, that go out and tell people, look, don't go that way. Look, you need to turn around. Look, you need to repent. But they just continue on living. And what scares me not only is for those who are lost without Christ that ignore the warnings, but for Christians today that ignore the warning signs, what God speaks to them about. Is there something in your life today that you're ignoring? God gives us warning, but does anybody really care? God's judgment is coming someday. The question is, do you care? When we look at Noah, the first thing I want us to understand is, you know, God's judgment was right. He was just in judging the world because of their sin. He had that. He created the world. He had that right. But I want you to see that he is patient during that time, and he was willing to give grace to those that were willing to accept it. In the day and time that we live in, with wickedness all around us, we can live a life that is filled with grace. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.